Welcome to another episode of the Money and Business Hero podcast, where we talk about the three pillars of financial success: money mindset, money management, and money making. My name is Florian Fritz, and my guest today, Colin Sandberg, is a multi-business owner and founder of FinElevate, where he helps business owners to improve their growth, their profitability, their cash flow, and they're preparing for their exit strategies. Welcome to the show, Colin.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Happy to be here.
Great to be here. And well, I think you have quite the interesting story of how you became able to help other people, right? So yeah. Tell us about it. What happened?
Well, that's a long story. I don't know if we have time for all of it, but I'll give you the quick version. I started in business, actually just determined I wanted to be an entrepreneur, got involved with my first company, thinking that I was going to be walking into a successful small business, and found out the hard way that I was walking into a pretty rough business that I like to joke, if there were 10 things that could kill a company, we were doing like 9 out of 10 of them. And so I, as a green, young kid at the time, didn't really know what I was looking at, but knew pretty clearly that it wasn't good. And so that was really kind of the beginning of my story, was figuring out, having to slowly peel the onion and figure out what was wrong with the business, and figure out, go out in the world and determine what the right way to solve that problem was. And as I did that more and more, eventually the business turned around, and by that time I was CEO of the company, bought the company over a number of transactions, and through all of that developed a real passion for, not only helping companies, but really how to look at a business through a financial lens. And that, became kind of my, I guess, my calling card, as I eventually invested in other companies and I'm now doing a startup. And so still own those other companies, including the first one, but that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, that was a very brief summary of the story. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Now, of those 9 or 10 mistakes you were talking about, which ones do you think are the worst that other people making as well that you should look out for?
Well, I think that, frankly, they're pretty common amongst entrepreneurs, hopefully not 9 out of 10 or you won't survive. But, we were, just to give you examples, we were embezzled from by our first employee, a very first employee who predated me at the company. When I got into the financial side of the business, that was one of the very first things I discovered, was that an employee who was still there at the time had been stealing from us. And, that was pretty earth shattering. This is somebody who had signature capabilities on the bank account, which I would not recommend. This is someone who had, they really had no oversight. And I think it was a classic case of an entrepreneur, who, the founder of the company, just saying, okay, I hate this part of the business. I'm not excited about the financial side. I've got somebody who says they'll take care of it, and I think I can trust them. And so I just give them, carte blanche in the company. And so I think that's a big one for entrepreneurs to remember is, these are your numbers, and the way you handle them are a reflection of how you handle everything. And so you cannot take the attitude of just, oversight by turning a blind eye. That doesn't work. And you wouldn't leave your money in the bank if you thought the bank was behaving that way. So why on earth would you do that, within your company? And so that would be, that's one that I think is really common. But the other ones were, it was kind of the whole gamut. We had a bunch of AR that we couldn't really collect. Customers weren't returning phone calls. It was just, we were selling into an industry that, in the airline industry, that is notoriously bad for bankruptcies. We had accounts payable to big companies who were mad at us because we couldn't pay our bills on time because their business was losing money. We didn't have enough money in the bank account to make payroll. We had more people on our team than we could afford. We had inventory that we had bought that we a job that got canceled that ultimately we had to sell for scrap. I mean, we were doing it all. It was like every bad idea you could come up with, we were doing them all at the same time.
Okay. Well, not so good, but I'm guessing that's common too. I think there's more businesses out there doing that than you would want. So how did you turn that around? How did you make the business profitable?
Well, the first step, and I think this is true for any entrepreneur, is you've got to stop lying to yourself. You have to be candid with where you're at, you know? And I think that having somebody who had been avoiding the numbers as the entrepreneur at that point, the founder, we weren't going to get there until it was, you know, he faced facts. And once, you know, I was in that seat in the business and started showing him the numbers and saying, look, these are the reality of our margins. We're losing money on a bunch of the work that we're doing right now. And we're trying to sell anything to anyone who will buy. And in reality, there's only a couple things we can do really well. And we need to do that, right? And so that was a huge turning point, was when I took over the business as CEO, I actually eliminated what was at the time 70% of our revenue. And it was because we were trying to sell big complex systems that, you know, was a really complex sell that had a lot of risk involved, a lot of variables that weren't even known when you were selling it. And you know how those kind of jobs go. You get to the end of them and you never are pleasantly surprised with what happened with the numbers. You get to the end of them and it's like, wait a minute, this looked really good on paper and we lost money. And so that was a huge one, and one that I'd advocate for anyone, is like, be really honest with yourself about what you're selling and whether or not you're actually making money on it.
Mm-hmm. So focus on what you're good at.
Yes.
Okay. And well, you're talking a lot about numbers, right? And lots of people don't like numbers.
Yep.
How can you handle that? How can you use your numbers to get more successful?
Well, I've got a company that helps companies with their numbers, basically, right? And one of the ways we do that is, I'm a big believer, you know, we all went through school, everybody got, you know, you got an 85 on this test, or you got a 92 on your final. You know, we all know like a 1 through 100 scoring system. And so we've actually tried to simplify the financial elements of a business in what we call the Fin score. And it just presents it as a number, you know, hey, your business is 65. And here's what it would look like at a 72. And that's a lot easier for most people to handle who aren't big numbers people, because if I start hitting them with a million percentages and you know, formulas and that sort of thing, and break down, you know, ratios and all of that, it turns into like the wah-wah, you know, it just turns into noise. They don't really hear it anymore.
Okay. So you take all those different numbers and calculate it into one. And then you say,
exactly.
And then you rate the business. This is your score.
Yep. And it's a score. And we know there's 20 different levers. Each one can be a 1 through 5 score. And so basically the number could add up to a potential of 100, and it cuts across all elements of the business. So it's growth levers. It talks about profitability. It talks about cash flow. And then it talks about business maturity, which is the term we've given it, but it basically means, you know, is your business doing things like running on EOS? Is it diversified in terms of management, or is it really just a one-person show? Because we know that if you can't turn it over for someone else to run it, you also can't sell it. You also can't take a vacation. So it's not a healthy business. It might be something you're monetizing, but it's a full-time 24/7 job. And that's really not the same thing as a healthy company.
Mm-hmm. So if you give me that score now, let's say my business is a 65 or whatever you said before.
Yep.
That 65 doesn't tell me what I need to change, right?
Well, here's the beauty. So it's going to be, the 65 is going to come from those 20 different levers. So it's not just a general number of 65. It's, hey, on pricing, you're at a 3 out of 5. And on, you know, cash balance, you might be at a 4 out of 5. So we're going to go through with the 20 different levers and actually give you individual scores and then aggregate that to your total score. But what we start with first, and I shouldn't have skipped this step, but what we really start with is we ask you what your goal is, because every entrepreneur has one of those 4 goals. Every entrepreneur, and a lot of times you have 2 or 3 of those 4 goals. You either want to grow your business, you want to become more profitable, you want to improve your cash flow, because we all know if cash flow is a problem, nothing else matters. Or you want to exit your business, whether it's hiring a CEO, whether it's selling the business, turning over to a family member, whatever the case. Those are the 4 goals that every entrepreneur wants. And so going back to your point, if I know their goal and I can see their score, then I'm in the weeds of what they would need to improve to achieve their goal. And so it's not a 72 built the wrong way is not the goal. I need you to be a 20 plus out of 25 in your one area of goal. That's really my mission. So if you say profitability, I can't be a 16 in profitability, but I'm an 80 total. And I say, we're doing pretty well. I've got to get profitability up to a 22, 23.
Okay. So defining goals is a good, is always a good idea.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay.
Great. And then how do people get there? How do
yeah.
move my business up the ladder?
Yeah. So the third step. Okay. So it's a three-step process. Start out with your goal. Then we do the Fin score, which is that second step. The third step is we have a playbook, and I've established out of, it's over 450 different plays, we call them, of basically anything you could think of that you could do to improve your business. And we've categorized them, not surprisingly, according to the 20 different levers in the Fin score. So for example, and you know, you see a lot of the books behind me, but I mean, these are not 450 things I invented. These are the best practices that are known. You probably know many of them, if not all of them, but they are things like, you know, having a premium pricing. Well, that means that I'm pricing based on value and I'm not just pricing based on market minus a little bit because it's easier to sell that way. So it's really going through and saying, okay, well, if we've said growth is your goal and we've determined that your pricing score is low, what are we going to do about pricing? And so that sparks the playbook in that specific area. It's not just let's do 450 things altogether. It's, hey, 20 of these apply to pricing. Let's get in the weeds about pricing.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Yeah. So you help people with their numbers. So accounting is also something most people say, oh, boring, let's not do this.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have any tips for that accounting concepts that help people to be more efficient with their numbers?
Yeah, I would say, you know, in general, if you're somebody who doesn't like numbers, think of the story of what your books are telling you, right? I mean, the P&L is like a literal movie you could watch. I mean, it's what am I selling? What is the work we're getting done and able to either ship out or deliver to the customer? You know, what are the costs that we're incurring related to the other parties that we deal with, vendors, other channel partners, that sort of thing? What is my labor doing within the company, right? What are people actually doing every day? And so as you think through the different elements of the P&L, instead of getting lost in just the sea of numbers, think of the story behind these big sections and think about, you know, if you ask the average entrepreneur, they could hate everything about numbers, but they know my vendors aren't working. Here's the problem, right? They know that. They instinctively know that. And that's the gut instincts that we develop as, you know, be living in our business. And so my goal with the numbers is to make the numbers reflect the story that you're familiar with and get you to see how they connect. And that's really what the Fin score is intended to do. And once you have that, you then start to kind of engage in the numbers in a slightly different way. And it doesn't mean you have to become a master of the P&L. It just means that you have to understand that the choices that you're making in the day-to-day are going to end up reflected on the P&L. So let's talk about how you pull the lever the right way.
Okay, great. So if anybody would like their business to get their business scored in your system, how could they do that? How where could they find?
So you can reach out to me. It's, you know, finelevate.com. And you can also reach out to me on LinkedIn. So one of the things we do, we don't have a great classy, you know, name for it yet, but I'll do a 45-minute session. It's no pitch. Okay. I love talking to entrepreneurs. Like I said, I'm an entrepreneur first. I'm not a finance guy first. I own multiple businesses, what I love. And I'm really excited about this new business, being able to connect with other entrepreneurs. So if someone wants to get some free advice, 45 minutes, I'm not going to make a sales pitch. I promise. If I start to make a sales pitch, hang up on me, call BS and disconnect the call. But for 45 minutes, we'll talk about the area of your business that you have that instinct that you know is lacking or has the biggest room for opportunity. And I'll give you as much of my playbook as I can to help you with what you can do related to that part of your business. So that's the 45-minute call. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's just Colin Sandberg. You know, send me a message, say, hey, I want my 45-minute call. Awesome. We'll schedule it. We'll get it knocked out. And like I said, the real goal there is to put great karma out in the entrepreneurial world. It is not to get people on a, you know, trapped on a call and hard sell them.
Awesome. Now, I think that's a great offer. What caused you or what happened that you give such a generous offer and like to connect with other entrepreneurs?
Well, one of the things I'm passionate about is mastermind groups. I know we haven't really gotten into that today, but what I love about mastermind groups is, and I developed this passion in my early 20s and it's still going strong, is I love seeing a new business and I love learning about it. And it really helps my brain wire in a little bit more of this big puzzle that we're all in of how these businesses all work and how they fit together. And so for me, it's just a great opportunity to meet another entrepreneur, connect with them, hopefully put some good value out in the world, you know, share with them from my experience, learn about their business. And so to me, it's a win no matter, you know, what comes of it.
Awesome. Well, talking about mind, mastermind, one of my favorite topics, the mindset. Do you have any thoughts or experiences about how that was important for your success or something?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So I love anything about mindset. I'll read anything about, you know, stoicism and mindset and all of that. And I'm sure you're probably familiar with the Ryan Holiday books. But I love the book and the concept, The Obstacle is the Way. It's probably the book I've recommended to other entrepreneurs more than anything. When COVID hit, I mean, look, I own a manufacturing business in the airport space. The minute COVID hit, it was like a oh crap moment. We knew this was going to be bad. My business partner and I were on the phone and it's like, this is not going to be good. And the very first thing I did was I went for a walk and I polished off the book, The Obstacle is the Way, got the audio book in my ear, and I went for a walk. And it's really, it's accepting the fact and really even enjoying the fact that from our obstacles come all of our greatest things, all of our greatest breakthroughs, all of our greatest opportunities. They all come from obstacles. And each one of us can look backward and see that. The hard part is being in that moment and seeing that. And so that's really a discipline I've been working on. And I kind of call that moment the turn, meaning there's a moment where my mind switches from woe is me, this is going to be awful, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. And it switches to just saying, I don't know the solution yet, but I have to believe that this is going to be a huge breakthrough. This is going to be one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I just don't understand it yet. And so the minute my mind switches to that, I start asking questions instead of all the drama and the, you know, woe is me part. And it's amazing. I've learned the faster I can make that mindset shift, the faster I get to solving a problem. And ultimately the better I make of the solution.
Wow. Great. Yeah. I love the book. Obstacle is the Way. So highly recommend you get it. If you haven't read it yet,
you have to
get that book and read it. So did I get that right? Every time you have a face of obstacle, you listen to that book again.
I do. Yeah. And I would say on average, I listen to it at least once a year, but I mean, it's just, it is absolute, you know, perfection in the headspace that it puts you in. And I really like audio. I'm a big audio book guy. I've just gotten used to that. Some people don't love that. It doesn't matter whether it's the audio book or the regular book, but polish that book off when you're in that mindset that says, I don't see a way out, that I, you know, this is going to be terrible. There's no second side to it yet. And it really feels like it's almost like the coin, you know, it's like the minute you start asking questions and you get your mind right, it's like you flip and you can finally see the other side of the coin. And from that, I mean, a lot of this business that I'm in now and some of these, the mindset and the things that I've developed have come directly from the panic of running an airport-based business in the middle of COVID. You know, we had 45 or 50 employees. I mean, it was really a scary time and we navigated all of it. And ultimately, it will be one of the turning points of my career, I believe. And that wouldn't have happened if I had spent 2 months, 6 months, a year just going, woe is me, and getting up like a zombie every day and just trudging through what I felt like I had to do. It really, because I shifted so quickly, everything brought on a new light and kind of had a new value that I wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Awesome. Great. So shift your mindset to solutions from obstacles. Right. Okay, great. Now you're leading more than one successful businesses, making some money with it probably. How important is money for you, Colin?
Well, money for me is security. You know, it's kind of like I was saying about cash flow, right? Cash flow is everything until cash flow is not a problem. And I would say that, you know, it's similar with money. I think that money, you know, for me at least, I need money to provide me security. I need money to put me in a place where, you know, I have the safety and I can provide for the people who depend on me, my family, my young children. And so that's what money is. It's not about flashy stuff. It's not about, you know, having some big lifestyle that that you're kind of flaunting in front of other people. That's not it. It's really wealth. As we know, wealth is really a measure of time and ability to do what you want to do. And so that's the path for me with money, is to get that and get, you know, always have more of it than I did last year.
Okay, great. Well, I remember Kiyosaki said wealth is measured in time.
Yeah.
How many months or years can you live forward without working from the money?
Yep.
Great. Now, what's your best, talking about wealth, what's your best wealth building tip for our audience?
Well, hopefully the audience, you know, I'm not sure how many of the people listening are entrepreneurs or in something entrepreneurial, but I would say that it is getting out of selling your time for money. We just talked about it, right? Wealth is measured in time, but you shouldn't be selling your time directly. In other words, if you're in a model, whether it's because you're a W-2 employee or just a, you know, a regular hourly employee, or even if you're a business that's selling your time and it's, you're assigning a specific dollar amount, that is not the path to wealth, because there's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many days in a week. And what that naturally leads to is somebody who's a workaholic, who just works like crazy. If you really want to break through to the next level, you start to incorrectly associate, I just have to work harder. And the reality is, you can look around, there's not one billionaire who sells their time for money. It just doesn't work that way. And so I'm not saying the goal has to be a billionaire, but we have to break out of that mold. And there are a lot of companies, and the hard part is there are a lot of entrepreneurs who are still stuck in that mindset, even though they're not an employee today, and they're still selling their company's time for money. And you just have to break out of that. No matter what it takes, you've got to break out of that.
Awesome. Great. That's a great tip, I think. Doesn't make sense to sell time for money, as we all only have 24 hours a day, right?
Exactly.
Great. Colin, thank you so much for coming. Anything Thanks. You want to add before we close this for today? Anything we forgot? Anything important?
No, I've really enjoyed it. And like I said, I mean it wholeheartedly. If somebody wants to hop on a 45-minute call and you know, I'll give you every ounce of value I can muster. Let's do it.
Great. Thanks for the offer. We'll definitely share the link to your page and your LinkedIn so people can reach out to you. Thank you. Thanks again for coming, and thank you everyone for listening. See you in the next show. Bye-bye.